Well, I'm pretty excited today. You guys ready for Christmas yet? Come on now. Anybody? All right. Christmas is an exciting time, but I got to tell you, I'm so excited today because I know we're here to talk about Christmas, but I just got to say my Bulldogs did it. Won the SEC championship yesterday for the first time since like the early eight, no, first time, well, no, first time since middle of the two, like 15 years, 16 years ago. So I've been pretty excited, and so I just can't believe my team got into the Final Four, and or they will as of noon. I think they'll vote them in, but big stuff. But I'm even more excited about Christmas, and today we're going to begin a little series here called A Child is Born. And Holly read to you the verse a little while ago that we're our main verse we're going to be using, and it's talking out of Isaiah, and it's talking about the names of Jesus and how he was going to be known. Names are a big deal. How many of you who have kids, I mean, how many hours did you burn on thinking about your child's name, especially the first one? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it took us hours. Now, it would have been easy if Allie had been a boy, because we knew there was going to be a Jackson. And so if we had a boy, he was going to be Jackson Dean. That's my middle name, and my dad and my granddad and great-granddad as well. And my name was always tough when I lived in Mexico, because before I was in ministry, I worked in Mexico. And while I was there, every time I would say Jeff on the telephone, people would say Jack. And I would say Jeff, and they'd say Jack, and I'd say Jeff, and they'd say Jack. And I never could get it. So I'm like, if I ever have a son, I'm naming him Jack. And so we knew we were going to have a Jack. And so, but the girl's name, when we didn't know whether Allie was going to be a boy or a girl before she was born. And so we thought and thought and thought about names. And we wanted a name that you could use in different ways. So we got down to two or three different ones. And we ended up with Alexandra Claire. And we just thought, well, if she's a tomboy, she could be Alex. She could be Allie. If she's formal, she could be Alexandra. And as it turns out, she kind of uses all of them. And in different scenarios. And so, but it was a big time debate. But the reason it matters so much to it is names matter in the sense that names tell you a lot about a person before you even hear them speak. And you think about it, and have you ever seen somebody who was kind of pigeonholed by their name? Like you heard their name and you automatically made an assumption about them before you even heard from them or knew what they were all about? And I think of one that comes to mind. I knew somebody one time that was going to have a little girl, and she was thinking about what to name her girl. And this is a true story. She decided she was going to name her little girl Pagan. I'm not kidding. Pagan. And I had to talk her out of naming her child Pagan. And thankfully, she listened. And her daughter is a Christian. But can you imagine if she was a Christian and her name was Pagan? Think about that for a second. People would have assumed like something about her that wasn't true at all. And so names matter. And as much as names matter to us, it says everything about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you look in the book of Isaiah, you see in chapter 9, verse 6, and what's the one Holly read a minute ago, but I want to share it with you again. And it says this. It says, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth to forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And so over the next four sermons, we're going to take a look at those four names you see. And today we're going to be looking at Wonderful Counselor. And next week we're going to look at Mighty God and Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what these things mean to how we know who Jesus is. Because they're key and critical to understanding the scope and love of Jesus as we come into the Christmas season. In Greek, the word wonderful, it means beyond words. It means that it's almost unspeakable. And so when it talks about Wonderful Counselor, what they're saying there about Jesus right off the bat is that the counsel that he gives is going to be beyond our imagination, more than we can even hope for or imagine. Hebrews 4:14 talks about the type of Wonderful Counselor that we have. And it says, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. That's our testimony of who he is. For we do not have a high priest. That is the intercessor between us and God, the one who approaches God for us, which is what Jesus did on the cross. And it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. And so our wonderful counselor is one that we can talk to because he has experienced life in exactly the ways that we have. He has walked in our shoes. He has even walked tougher roads than most of us will ever walk. And just in daily life, I'm not even getting to the cross. I'm just talking about the things he experienced and the rejection that he felt and the difficulty that his life was. I mean, Jesus walked everywhere and said that he didn't have a place to lay down his head. He was always struggling in human terms. And yet, because he went through those things, he understands everything that we go through. I mean, even think about this. He was living as an oppressed people group. The Romans were over the Israelites, and he even everyone around him was somebody that somebody else told him what to do all day long, every day. And so Jesus understands, no matter where we are, what we've experienced, he understands. And so because of that, we draw near to him knowing he understands. Draw near to him knowing that we listen. I love how the verse says in verse 16 that we have confidence when we draw near to the throne of grace, that we receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. In our most difficult times, our most difficult struggles, we find that Jesus is indeed our wonderful counselor, that he has time for you, that he is waiting for you to speak with him, that he expects you to talk to him because he knows you, and he invites you into this personal relationship that you don't have to worry about whether he's ready to talk to you. He's always ready. He's always has what you need to hear. I want to share with you a few stories about our wonderful counselor today. One of them you find in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And it's when he sees Matthew, known as Levi also. And it says, after this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, follow me and leave everything. And he rose and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at a table with them. And the Pharisee said to the scribes, grumbling at his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You could have prefaced that in our phraseology in English today. When he's talking about the righteous, what he was really saying is the self-righteous. Those who think that they are perfect. Those who think that they are the most religious. Those are the ones that Jesus was talking about here when he's saying, I didn't come for those people who think they're all that. He came for the ones who recognize that they're not well, that they're broken, that they need a wonderful counselor. He came for us. And so as we go into the Christmas season, we often talk about how not everyone approaches Christmas in the same way, that for a lot of people, that Christmas is a wonderful, great time, but we recognize also some of you sitting here today may be struggling right now. Maybe having you may be looking forward into Christmas as a time of difficulty or pain, or maybe your Christmases in your past were not good. Maybe people let you down. Maybe people just didn't show up when you needed them. Maybe you've had loss, and this Christmas is going to be tough because of that. But can I tell you today, though, no matter where you are, no matter how you're feeling, if you're hurting, and maybe you look good on the outside, maybe you think you fooled everybody and that everyone thinks everything's great, but on the inside you're torn up. But don't try to go it alone. You see, you never have to go it alone. Our wonderful counselor is there always to walk with us, to walk with you, And so you never have to wonder, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? Or maybe you've gone further where you've just concluded that nobody really cares. Don't worry. He cares. Jesus cares. And he is never apart from you. He is always with you. And he is always, always never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. You see, our wonderful counselor came for those who are sick. He came for those who are hurting. He came for those who are in pain. He came for those who recognize that they can no longer go it alone. Have you ever been to a counselor? If you have, if you've ever been to a counselor, you know that, or if you've ever watched something about a psychiatrist or psychology or somebody who's helping somebody on TV, you know that if you are not honest with them, you're not going to get very far. I mean, if you're telling everyone, if a counselor says to you, how are you really doing? And you say, I'm fine. You're going to hit a roadblock. And what a counselor does is a counselor keeps getting deeper and deeper and peeling back levels of where you're really at until you get to the core of what's really going on. But that's what our wonderful counselor does. God meets you in your need and in your pain. And so when we speak out loud to him, when we say to him, here's what's really going on, he responds. Psalm 55, 22, clunky shoes. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, the righteous they're talking about there are those who are justified by faith, who have approached the throne of grace, not the self-righteous that we were talking about before. These are the ones who have come to Jesus. It's cast your burden on him. One time, Jesus, in a very famous exchange, was talking with a Samaritan woman. And he has this conversation with her, and he begins by, like he so often did, at a well, a gathering place. And he asked her if he could have some water. And the woman is shocked because she's a Samaritan, which is sort of a half-Jewish person. And they were sort of shunned by the Jews, and the Jews would have nothing to do with them. And so she's shocked that this Jewish man has come to her and said, will you give me some water? And Jesus begins to talk to her as they strike up this conversation, and he begins to talk about living water that he gives to everyone. And she says, well, how are you going to give me living water? Because you don't have a bucket or a rope to reach down into the well and to get some water. And Jesus says this in verse 16. I'm sorry, John 4, 16. Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come here. Which, by the way, is a very Jewish thing to do because men and women didn't normally talk face-to-face in those times. So it was very unusual that Jesus was even talking to her. But he did. But then he says the right thing, as a Jewish man would do. Hey, bring your husband here and let's have a conversation together. He's the head of the household. And so he says, go and call your husband and come here. And the woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus says to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And so she recognizes something different about him, that he can see into her life, and that he knew that she had had five husbands, and that the man that she was living with was not actually her husband. And so Jesus begins to talk to her because she has been honest with him and just being candid to say, that guy's not really my husband that I'm with. And Jesus begins to talk to her about relationship and worship, and he begins to shape the conversation into something that's going to change her life. He starts to talk to her about spirit and truth. And then he gets to verse 23, and he says, but the hour is coming, and it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, which we talked about in 1 John a lot, right? And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says to her, I whom you are, who speak to you am he. Now, the conversation would have looked completely different if she had not told him the truth, if she had lied, or if she had just omitted the truth and just been silent. And when Jesus said, well, go get your husband, and she'd be like, whoo, whoo. But she was true. And she told him the truth. And Jesus appreciated that so much. And so he goes to her and he begins to talk and changes her life. And she's a different person because of what happens. But you see, one of the reasons that our wonderful counselor is so amazing, it's so wonderful, is because he is truth. And because he is truth, he values truth. And there's nothing hidden from him. And so there's no reason to even try. Because God sees into the core of our soul and knows us even deeper than we know ourselves. And so we are able to approach him and be candid because he knows it anyway. So there's no reason that you shouldn't talk to God about your pains and your difficulties and your mistakes and things that are hurting you in your life, because he's already aware of them. And yet he comes to you wanting to help you get rid of those things. Wanting to help you overcome those things, wanting to help you become the person that he designed you to be. And so he is our wonderful counselor. And he doesn't come to you with a rebuke, not when you tell him your pain. You see, that lady, Jesus could have lit her up. Jesus could have said, you've been divorced 5 times, you're living with the guy, what's wrong with you? But he doesn't. He recognizes that she needs living water, and so he just says, go get that guy. Let's talk. He's ready because he came for those who are hurting and those who are sick. But he gave his harshest rebukes, though, for the ones who were self-righteous, the ones who thought they didn't need any help, the ones who thought they had it all together, the ones who tried to make everyone believe that they were perfect. You see, in Matthew 23:25, Jesus just lighting the religious leaders up, and he says, woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate so the outside can be clean. Woe to you, Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You see, the religious leaders were trying to look great, but they were messed up inside. And so Jesus isn't looking for you to be perfect when you come to him. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to change your life. Jesus wants to help you overcome. And he doesn't ask you to be perfect to come to meet him. He just asks you to be honest, to be willing to talk about what it is that's holding you back, what it is that's keeping you down, what it is that's keeping you from becoming who he wants you to be. But God promises us. He promises us that when we come to him and we are candid with him and we are honest with him, he will clean us out from the inside out, and we won't have to look beautiful on the outside and feel horrible on the inside. What happens is we get cleaned up inside, and then our inside becomes so beautiful that it doesn't matter what the outside looks like, because the inside is shining through with the person of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9, God promises this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that stuff that's tearing you up inside, that stuff that you're feeling guilty about, that stuff that's making Christmas into a time of pain and hurt when you're not looking forward to it, the wonderful counselor is saying, come to me and unburden your pains, unburden your past, unburden your hurts, and let's get that stuff cleaned up so that we can spend Christmas together. So that we can have a wonderful time of fellowship as we celebrate, in Jesus' case, he's saying, my birth. You see, talking to God about our pain and our sin, our hurts, is the path to freedom. It's the way to escape from all of the tragedy that has happened to us in our lives. It's not the tragedies. The enemy wants you just to stay there and be bitter and hurt. But Jesus wants to cleanse those things out of you and to help you to see things in proper perspective, so that no matter what has happened to you, it doesn't hold you back, that you can still have a bright future, that you can still have a tomorrow, that whatever it is that happened in your life isn't the only thing that happened in your life. Because that's what pain does, isn't it? Pain becomes so big and it gets magnified so much that at some point you just get pigeonholed, like in a name. And you say that tragedy or that sin or whatever it is that you were looking back on is the only thing that ever happened to me. And you become defined by it. Instead of saying, that was a tragedy and that was terrible, but I can move past this. And the only way that you can really get that stuff in the past is by looking forward with our wonderful counselor. The one who can actually help you. See, a psychologist or a psychiatrist, they're helpful. They can help us in human terms, but they can't change your soul. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus could take your soul from the inside out and clean you and make you new. Make you understand that there is a future, that you are not defined by that past. But when we lay out our fears and our mistakes to God, there's more. Because when he begins to talk, we need to listen to his counsel. We need to pay attention to what he has to say. John 10:22, says this. At the time of the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him, and they said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Well, by the way, he had just told the woman at the well, we talked about earlier, the Samaritan woman, that he was the Christ, right? But they don't know because they can't hear it. They can't see it clearly. And Jesus answered him, "I told you, but you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Now, if that wasn't a clear statement of who he is, that they were never going to hear it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow, and I give them eternal life. He was just declaring them that he's God. "Then they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." It's one of the beautiful things about Jesus, amongst so many others, is that when you say yes to him, you begin to hear his voice. You begin to see who he is. You recognize that he is the great shepherd. He knows you, and you know him personally. That's why it's so important to make a personal decision for Jesus Christ, to say, "I will follow," and not just associate and think that because you know people that go to church, that you are a Christian, because we have to choose our own path, and we have to choose Jesus ourselves. But he gives you eternal life when you choose him. His Christmas present is the best Christmas present there is. And his Christmas present is the one that keeps on giving for all eternity and never gets old and never is something you want to throw away. It's something that once you experience it, you will know, "I cannot lose my salvation. I'm going to be with God forever. He will never stop loving me." Anyone who experiences this will never turn their back on Jesus. Sometimes people ask if you can lose your faith, and the thing I can tell you is that anyone who truly experiences Jesus will never walk away, and not only that, Jesus will not let them fall. Look at the verse said there a second ago. He said, "I will give them eternal life, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." No one can steal you. No one can grab you and cause you to lose your salvation. Yeah, sure, of course, you fall short sometimes, you make mistakes, you can even fall out of fellowship where you're not talking with God because you have chosen not to. But you can always speak to him again. You can always turn back. And when you turn back, like in the story of the prodigal son that Jason preached on a while back, Jesus is there waiting for you. He never stopped waiting for you. God never stops calling you sons and daughters once you come to faith. You can mess up, but you come back still there because you are still a child of God. You see, he will always finish what he starts in you. He will always complete the work that he begins in you. And so he will bring you safely home every single time when you have authentically said yes to him. But to make life all it can be, you have to listen to the counselor's counsel. You have to pay attention to his call. The Father said this at Jesus' baptism. It said, a voice came from the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. God told us to pay attention to what the wonderful counselor was telling us, because it was the words of the wonderful counselor that bring life. But then once you listen, you have to do the last part. You have to take what the counselor tells you and you have to do something with it. You have to do what he tells you to do. Have you ever gotten some great advice and you knew it was great advice when you heard it? And you knew it was going to be good for you. And you knew that you were going to be happier if you put it into effect. And you listened to that advice and you went, man, that's great advice. And then you went and did something else. Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay. Nathan. So there's one. Now, come on. We've all done that. We've all done that. We have all taken a piece of advice that maybe it was from a teacher. Man, I don't know what, but we've all made that mistake. Or you know, you listen to your parent and you went, I'm not going to listen to mom and dad. I'm going to do my own thing. And then you go, man, that was a good idea. I should have done that. Maybe it was 15 years down the road. And man, my dad was right. But whatever it is, we've all made that mistake. And it's one thing to turn your back on or to not listen to some advice that's given to you by another person. But you need to understand that the wonderful counselor is giving your purpose in life what it needs to succeed. He created you for specific things. He created you to be his child and to walk with him. But he created specific blessings that you were supposed to experience by listening and putting into action what he has told you to do. And so you can do that or you can choose not to. You can actually be a Christian and miss many of the blessings that God had designed specifically for you because you're not doing what he told you to do. And you've heard his voice and you know that he's given you good advice, but you still have to decide, am I going to put that into action? Am I going to go out and share my faith? Am I going to go out and serve somebody in need? Am I going to stop on the street when I see that person needs help? Any of those types of things. There's so many others. And you have to decide, do I want to experience those blessings that God has clearly put in front of me? See, I think it's a shame to potentially get to heaven one day. And I'm talking to Christians right now. It's a shame to get to heaven one day and face Jesus face to face and realize when you see just how wonderful our counselor really is, that you see him face to face and you get to this place and you show up and you're looking at him and he's on the throne. And you go, I didn't listen. I didn't do what he told me to do. I didn't become who he wanted me to become. And nobody, I want to tell you, nobody wants that moment. And so I tell you to listen to what he has to say and then do what he tells you to do, because that's how you're going to experience the best life that he created for you. To make the biggest difference, not the easiest life, but the life that matters the most. The one that you were designed to live. There's a guy in the Bible that actually experienced this while he was still alive. He had the privilege of meeting Jesus face to face, and then Jesus told him how to live and what to do for his particular life, and he rejected it. Have a listen. Mark 10:17. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Straight up question. Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness." In other words, don't lie. "Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And Jesus said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all of these from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And so you see the counselor's response right there before he tells him what to do? Jesus loved him, just as Jesus loves you. And then he says to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away. This man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to him again, "Children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were all exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and he said, "With man it is impossible, but with God, for all things are possible with God." And so Jesus gives this man his purpose. He gives this man meaning, but his wealth got in the way. His wealth was his particular idol. And so this man was coming to Jesus saying, "How do I inherit life?" And Jesus was saying, "Here's your core problem, you." And maybe for you it's a different problem. But Jesus came to this man and said, "Your issue is your focus on your money. And so give all your money away and then come follow me." But his idol, his wealth, prevented him from answering Jesus' call. And so he goes away sad, missing the blessings. But Jesus loved him. Jesus wanted him to experience the most from his life, to have the greatest meaning, to have the most purpose. You see, he always tells us the truth. All things are possible with God. In human terms, we can't get there alone. We can't go it alone. We can't try to figure out how to get there by ourselves. We can't live the best possible life that we were supposed to live without him. All things, though, are possible with God. You see, that's what the wonderful counselor does. He takes you where you cannot go on your own. He takes you to places you never even imagined. And he enables you to become who you are meant to be. See, our wonderful counselor loves you. He makes you new by his sacrifice on the cross. And so no matter what you're dealing with coming into Christmas, Jesus wants yours tomorrow, this Christmas, to be new. To be fresh, for you to be whole, for you to be blessed, for you to have purpose and meaning. That's what our wonderful counselor does. That's Jesus. Paul's going to come up and sing, and we're going to take up our offering in a second. And I want to invite you, as we stand and sing, to consider where you are with Jesus. How are you feeling about this Christmas? And maybe you just need to stop and take a moment and talk to God as we're singing and just invite the wonderful counselor to speak into your life. But then have the courage to answer what he tells you to do. If you're a person that needs to make a decision for Jesus Christ, I'm going to be sitting down here in the front. We're going to have a quick business meeting. I know you're going to be excited. We're going to have a little quick business meeting. If you looked in your bulletins, it should have been in there right at the end. We have to do a hands-up, hands-down vote on our budget today. And so in a second, we're going to, after we do our announcements, we're just going to have a quick hands-up vote. We've done all of our discussions and our business meetings and stuff, but we have to vote as a church. And so if you're a member of this church, we're going to ask you just for a real quick vote at the end of the church service to approve our budget. We're doing it in both services this morning. But meanwhile, as we're doing that, bigger picture, you need Jesus. Come up and talk to me. Can be right now, can be after the service. If you have something in your life that's preventing you from being who he designed you to be, deal with it. Go to him. He has time for you, and he has the power to bring you through. He is the Wonderful Counselor. Let's sing.